This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Investors shift focus from indicators to earnings. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. This week, we've gotten good news about the third quarter from Yahoo. Comcast posted revenue up 4%. Boeing reported profit up 18%. This morning, we heard from JetBlue and Southwest Airlines, and they both had record earnings last quarter. Joining me now is Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Hi, Diane.
Hi, David.
So it seems like we're getting a string of pretty decent earnings reports from all kinds of companies. What do you make of it?
Well, what it shows us sort of is the proof is in the pudding, and the fears that financial markets had earlier this month that the world was coming to an end as we knew it, it's not there yet. And the good news is I don't think it's going to get there. At the end of the day, companies did make money this year, and that is what ultimately supports financial markets is the fact that we can make money and hopefully generate more jobs.
Last week, the focus seemed to be much more on economic indicators. There was a mix of some good news, some bad news. Are these earnings reports somehow more important, more significant to investors right now?
Absolutely. I think what they do is they sort of allow us to look at the economy more realistically. There was this fear prism we were looking at the economy through. Any reports that came through actually were ignored if they were good news and sort of outsized reaction if they were bad news. Now what we're seeing is the markets more realistically look at good and bad news together. We also had some okay news come out of China that suggests that although things are not perfect, they're also not completely falling apart. And that's very important going forward is that we don't go down and slip and lose a lot of ground in the global economy, that we probably just have more of a rocky road ahead.
Very good. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Diane, thanks as always.
Thank you.
The company is expected to announce its third quarter results today, right after the closing bell. And we know what Amazon sells, but how about what it buys? Analysts say they're going to pay close attention to the company's investments. Reporter Nova Safo explains why.
Who would you say is Amazon's biggest competitor? eBay, perhaps?
If you traditionally think of Amazon as a retailer, be aware that they're growing a strong advertising business.
That's Colin Gillis, a technology analyst at BGC Partners. A strong advertising business, as in a competitor to Google. As of 2012, Amazon accounted for about a third of e-commerce searches.
Google values customers who are searching to purchase products.
Amazon has captured those customers through aggressive investment into its business. Gillis says whatever revenue Amazon announces, investors will likely not see a penny as Amazon reinvests into more growth.
The one thing I'd say to look for would be the stock market's reaction.
Brad Stone wrote about Amazon in his book, The Everything Store. He says that reaction is a potential vulnerability.
If investors start to waver, maybe at some point Amazon needs to start providing some returns to shareholders, and that means they can't invest as much in the new business.
Or into the battle with Google. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Marketplace's economics guy Chris Farrell has been thinking a lot about water, how we use it, how we pay for it. He's been asking himself a lot of questions many consumers don't. Hey, Chris.
How you doing, David?
I remember this sort of basic lesson that in order for markets to work, consumers have to know what prices are. And I gather that with the market for water, that's not necessarily the case.
No, I mean, think about it. You're absolutely right. Most of us know what the price of our cell phone bill is. But when you take a shower, do you know how much it costs you if you take a 5-minute shower or a half-minute shower? If
no
you
idea.
Wash the dishes quickly or not quickly? We are used to clean, abundant water, and we don't pay attention to the costs at all. And that needs to change because we are wasting so much water, and water is a scarce resource.
Now, what's the way to address this? Is it to charge more per gallon? Is it to make us more aware of, sort of, as you said, how much water I'm using when I take a shower, when I'm doing the dishes?
I think it all comes down to charging a lot more. Now, when you say that, automatically, you know, well, what about the poor? What about people who don't have much money? That's 1% of total water usage. There's the remaining 90%, most of which is industry and agriculture, that we can charge higher prices, we can get rid of a lot of the subsidies, we can create water markets, but we need that higher price before people become more conscious and we get some real conservation efforts.
If we were to raise the price, and if agriculture were to pay more, industry were to pay more, we'd feel that, right? It would trickle down to us.
Oh, absolutely. We would feel it. And we'd feel it in our food. We'd feel it in the cost of maybe checking into a hotel, at least for a while. But I think there's a group, a powerful group in our society that has an important stake in water conservation. It's an unexpected source. It's multinational corporations. And what they're finding, particularly in Asia, parts of Africa, here in the U.S., they're running into water limits. So you'll have companies like Ecolab and Pentair and Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola, for example, has a massive global water database, and it made the information public as part of an effort to convince people that water conservation is an important business issue and not just an environmental issue. And I put just in quotes.
Marketplace's economics guy, Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, David.
Finally, it's notoriously difficult to get a job at Google. Just how difficult? Google's head of human resources said this week the company gets 3 million applications a year. And out of that pool, it'll hire about 7,000 new employees. So the odds of getting a job at Google, 0.2%. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.